Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick, not Picard, Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Weekly.
Yes, it is. Oh, I've forgotten one thing. I should have light on my face. There we go. Classic McLeod. Never prepared. How you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. There's been a lot of fun news this week for G.I. Joe, and that always helps.
There certainly has. A lot of interesting news that we'll get stuck in. I know the head shake, but we'll start with the negative, and then we'll finish on a very big positive, I'd imagine. But we'll get into that, Pat. Don't you worry. As you said, it's been a pretty busy week. We've already got people flooding in the comments. Hello to everyone watching. David Tracy, Matthew Matson, Ed the Straight Edge, A Punk with Toys, Absorbids, all of you guys, Mark Bradley, my mom. Hey.
Hi, mom.
Couple of hearts for a couple of losers. Thank you very much. sorry, Pat. That was really harsh. Luke, Alistair, James, all of you guys, thanks for jumping on. Really appreciate you chatting with us and joining us this very fine morning, or whatever it is in your part of the world. All right then, buddy. Should we get stuck into the news then? And we'll start with, like I said, we'll start with the... I think you know what I'm getting at here. We're going to start with Walmart, aren't we? And
of course.
I suppose. Are you ready though, Pat? Are you ready to get into this?
We'll see.
We certainly shall.
Out of nowhere, Walmart posted classified Retro Destro and Gung Ho in stock online on Wednesday with immediate delivery. For a lot of us, we had pre-ordered these particular figures for shipping in the latter part of the year, so this was a shock but a pleasant one at the same time. A lot of the deliveries, however, did not fare well with Walmart's archaic shipping methods, like putting them in a bag or crushing the box they're in between two granite blocks, or my favourite, packing the item in a box that was far too small for it in the first place. I'm convinced the Walmart packing department are all into medieval torture. In any case, my Lady J got a little banged up in a bag, but the other three were shipped in decent sized boxes with air pocket padding, so I was pleasantly surprised that they came out unscathed. How did you fare, Pat?
It's yet to be seen. I didn't get them.
Really?
Yes. So... I just checked my porch before we started, and like I was kind of in the same boat as everybody else. It's my original ones were scheduled still for September.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm just going to buy them again and then they'll show up and then I'll cancel those ones. So I did that and it was like, oh, arriving Friday. Well, yesterday came and the G.I. Joes did not. So I looked on my orders and now my I have Gung Ho and Destro were scheduled for September. The Gung Ho is scheduled now. The one from September scheduled to show up today, and the one that I ordered this week, that's pushed back indefinitely.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
You see, what I did was, on that day that they went up as, like, in stock, you know, whatever, I just went, okay, yoink, yoink, and they got here, like, literally Friday. So that was, what, a day? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 2 days?
2 days.
So... Yeah. I got Lady J the following day. Now, Lady J and Baroness were already pre-ordered, and they just were like, "Hey, these are coming early, yay!" Lady J turns up in a bag, and I was kind of like, "Well, I'm all right. I've got one. Nick sent me one from In Demand Toys, so I've got a good Lady J, and I've got this one which looks like it's been eaten and then pooped out, and then put in a bag and then delivered in the classic way that Walmart deliver it." But it's funny because Histank put a post up. I'm not sure if you saw this, Pat, of like, you know, like saying something like, thanks, Walmart or whatever. And the comments, it must have been, I think everybody who ordered had some damage, whether it was like to one of them or to all of them or to like, you know, some of them or whatever. There was damage across the board. It seems like, and this is not the first time Walmart have done this, I remember in recent years, the Ghostbusters retro card backs were absolutely decimated, weren't they? Did you suffer that as well with Walmart?
I didn't buy those figures. They're really cool. But I can recall that happening. And, you know, everybody's really looking forward to those figures. And a lot of people, I mean, these are collector things. A lot of people are buying them to keep them on the card. And I can understand things getting a little bit dinged up in shipping and they're not going to be perfect. But when are they shoving them in boxes that weren't the right size? You do kind of have to wonder what condition some of these were in prior to them shipping them.
So, yeah, I feel like they just kind of kick them around the store a little bit.
Yeah.
Doug says, mine are set to be delivered today. Ed says, my gung-hos arrived a little warped, but not terrible. I tore them open immediately, so it didn't matter anyway.
Right.
77T, John says, yeah, he says, all four of mine came in bags and all damaged, beat up. A Punk with Toys says, someone last night said, when you order from Walmart, if you mark that it's a gift, it will come in a box. I'll be trying it next time. Well, I actually got two of them in boxes. Well, actually got Gung-Ho and Destro came in a box together with padding, which was amazing. And then Baroness came in the same size box, again, with padding. So I was like, how come I get those in boxes and I get Lady J in a bag? It was weird. It was just weird. Well, I suppose it's whoever you're getting in the packing area, the packing department.
Yeah. They just do weird things. Like, I ordered one of the whole sets of Retro Series Star Wars figures, and I got one each day, one a day every day in a different style box each day. Sometimes a huge box and sometimes a bag.
It's so random, isn't it? I had three orders totaling eight figures, and I got eight individual bubble envelopes. Unreal. Unreal. Three orders. Just put them in three blooming packages. Jay Straper says, I've only received Lady J so far, and they shipped her in one of those plastic trash bag shippers. She was mangled. The rest arrive on Monday. Jack Knight 73 says, my first Lady J, Gung-Ho, Destro were all sent in bags and cardboard back cards mangled. Another Gung-Ho and a Baroness is coming today. I do not have high hopes they will come in good condition. Jack Knight says, I only seen one post where someone received them boxed and in good condition. Was that my post, Jack? Was that my post about getting literally Gung-Ho, Destro and Baroness like impeccable condition? And yeah, really weird. Really weird. Well, I say weird. Sammy says that's like straight up vendetta packing. It is, isn't it? It's almost like they're so angry with G.I. Joe that they're just crumpling everything. Mailer bags, Bryn. Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. The gift thing didn't work for me so far. I tried that marking as gift.
That Neil worked Hill. For me on Amazon actually one time, because with Transformers, Amazon did some really even more weird stuff in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's all terrible in terms of the packing. And I'll change images. And this is the one on the left is from His Tank's main post, which again, you know, that happens in transit. You get like crumpled boxes. Yeah. At least it was in a box, but you get that a lot with Walmart. The one on the right is my Lady J.
This is the box they were sitting on as they were packing all the other things in bags.
Absolutely. Dr. Jones says, I've got two Gung-Hos in the Hasbro ship. I haven't opened it yet. What's the cat in a, you think it's dead, it's in a box. Do you know what I'm talking about? Someone tell me what I'm talking about. It's something's cat. And I can't remember what it's called. I just talk about it all the time. It's like a philosophy thing where if you don't open the box, they're not broken. Do you know what I mean? They're not damaged because you haven't opened the box. But until you open the box and find out, you'll never know. So it's that kind of like
Schrodinger's cat.
Schrodinger's cat. Thank you very much. Thank you. Somebody's cat dead in a box. What are you talking about, Chris? It's funnier that way when I don't remember what it's called. There's the packaging. Awful. I know, sorry guys, the comments are flooding in and I appreciate it. Schrodinger's Gung-Ho, says Ed. Thank you. Everyone's just saying Schrodinger. There's like a 50s comments that say Schrodinger. Neil Hill says Schrodinger's repaint. I like that. That's even better. Okay. Anyway, crap that we all got damaged stuff. It's probably what they do. I think they're doing it because they know they're going to be stocking this in the stores, right? Here's my conspiracy theory, Pat. Walmart know they're going to be stocking this in stores, but they don't want them, like, you know, hanging out there and peg warming. So they trash all the pre-orders so that you're forced almost to open it, then get another one on card fresh by going into the store and buying it. What do you think?
It certainly felt that way, but then the retro series, those first couple of waves, like every single one of them that I saw that wasn't in that initial end cap display was just completely crushed. And I actually kind of wondered if it wasn't a matter of somebody trying to get more items on one single cargo container because of the shortage of getting things from China to North America.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're just like crush more in and they're just crushing some of these boxes before they even get to California or wherever their destination may be.
It could be. And then when Walmart get them, they look at them and go, okay, just put that in a mailer bag. Let's save some, you know, cash or whatever.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. Because they need to. They need to start saving Walmart, don't they? They're not very big company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, they've got to make sure that they're covered.
It's only a mom and pop. Doug says, and I didn't steal this, Doug. That was my thought, my singular thought as well. But from Walmart's point of view, if you want an undamaged package, you have to come to the store, which is why Walmart has these. And Bryn says, so Walmart is shipping dead cats in boxes. That's the confusing part that I've led everyone to believe, Bryn, and yes. Morning, Chris. And who else we got? Diana says, they probably supply these from a few central warehouses. The people packing them have an Amazon-like quota and few bathroom breaks. They're just flinging things in boxes. Very likely, Diana, and very possible. And Neil Hill has asked, when is my pipeline reveal for Mutton Junkyard coming? At the end of the show, Neil, we'll reveal it at the end of the show. okay. Oh, one more comment from Matt. Happy Saturday, Chris and Pat. My Destro and Gung-Ho came trashed, but was able to have them send replacements the next day. Replacements were bad as well. Lol. It's an ongoing issue. Obviously, I'm sure everyone else has been suffering with this as well. But on the bright side, we do get more figures and new figures. And here's my lineup, just to rub it into everyone's faces. Lady J, as much as I said, like, it's crumpled at the top, it's not that bad, is it, really? It's not as bad as some people's, my goodness. So I got lucky. But it's a cool wave of figures, isn't it, Pat? And obviously, we've looked at... I haven't got Destro and Baroness for comparisons, but there are comparison images out there. But I thought we'd have a look at Gung Ho first, and now General Joe's Justin Bell posted these images the other day to kind of show the comparisons. And I mean, it's like night and day, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of differences, and all of them are things that I really enjoy. Yeah. I like the fuller tattoo. The tattoo is much improved, I think, over the first one.
Yeah, much bigger. It's kind of covering that torso break as well, isn't it? So that, like, it's crossing the torso break, I should say, which is probably what they were trying to avoid the first time they put the tattoo on there. But then I just thought, let's just do it. Let's just have it go across. Matt O'Brien, I want to put this up because it's every time I always say Kitty said, and I can't get over how big they are, though, and that's hilarious. But also with the Gung-Ho figure, I mean, you've got the different accessories. So you've got the hat, the cover is different. The head sculpt is completely different. No more mohawk, obviously, right, to make him match more like the vintage. And the head sculpt's completely different. The tash is different. The head is completely different. It's crazy how much extra stuff went into this figure to make it the retro version.
And obviously, yet he still looks like the same person. You know, it doesn't look like he's totally reinvented. If you have both these figures, it's similar to like the Cobra Island Roadblock, where this one has a beard and this one, you know, the standard one doesn't have that full beard.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it looks like the same guy, but... And I like that they went with that.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Except
with
for
that.
The tattoo, because it does kind of imply that he has a temporary tattoo, or he didn't like that one, so maybe he actually went and got it covered up.
When he first got it. Yeah, that's it. When he first got it done, he's like, you know, I'm not feeling this. And I want to be in more teal.
And he heard all the fan feedback, and he said, I am going to go get that tattoo covered.
Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing. They've removed so you don't get the wrist gauntlet or the elbow strap, and you get no gloves this time. So he's got the bare hands, and the legs are the same, but the straps are different. So the thigh strap on the left thigh is no longer kind of those big, is it grenades? It's kind of like ammunition. And then the there's another thigh holster on the right hand side for a pistol. So they have left shin knife sheath as well with knife. So there's a lot of new stuff going on here. Obviously the deco looks amazing. The secondary vest as well obviously is completely different. It's a home run, this one, isn't it? Absolute home run.
It really is. Yeah, I look forward to getting this one.
I love his backpack. I'm looking at it here, Pat. I'll just tell you what it looks like, if that's all right. Yeah, I'll rub it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Anyway, so that's Gung Ho. Justin also posted a nice little side by side of the Lady J figures, and this is also a good one to have a look at because as similar or almost exactly the same as the figures are, the deco and the difference in face printing really makes a difference here, doesn't it? It kind of creates almost like a completely different figure.
Yeah, I see, you know, how I think it was Lenny said that there's more of an 80s style makeup that she's wearing in this one. But for me, I like it a lot better. I think that it just looks, I don't know, it's a little bit more of a fun figure.
I would also say because they've gone with kind of like they said, like a makeup, there's more variation, there's more shading, there's more color, there's more color break on the face. So there's a lot of kind of more interesting things going on. And I think even though it's like they've just put 80s makeup on it, it has changed the face significantly.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's kind of the same thing as what we have with Roadblock and Gung Ho. She's the same person, but she looks a little different in this release, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. David R. says, Gung Ho was improved the most. The other figures are subtle changes, 100%. We don't have Baroness and Destro up yet. Well, obviously, you know, they're effectively the same, just very minor paint decoration going on there. Like the Destro is actually quite cool though in looking at him because of obviously that head, the head and the gauntlets are much shinier. But yeah, in terms of Lady J, I really like what they did with her. And obviously the brighter green is really nice too. I definitely want to do a yellow version of this figure. I want, because I don't think we're going to get a Canary Ann repaint at any point, but I'd love to do one myself. So thankfully I've got, you know, a spare to kind of do that with. Are you going to be, have you got any ideas with any of these figures, Pat?
You mean for costumes?
Kind of, yeah. And like kind of wanting to do any, like using them as.
At this point, I'm struggling so hard just to keep up that I don't think that I'll be buying anything extra for customs. But who knows? There will probably be a surplus of these things that people are dumping because they're not in the condition that they want.
Exactly. I think a lot of people are going to be opening the trashed ones. A lot of people have been taking them back. This is another problem, though, Walmart are going to face. A lot of returns. A lot of them. A lot of people in the comments, not just here, but like in, you know, on the post we made earlier, were kind of saying, I'm, you know, no way, I'm taking these back. So I think a lot of these are going to be going back to Walmart, obviously.
Yeah, so I guess if you miss them or can't get them still online, like if they sell out, there's a chance that one could just randomly show up at your Walmart because somebody took it back.
Absolutely. Anyway, this is... RKW 1138. Is the hat removable on Retro Lady J? I want to use the hair from the first release. Yes. It's exactly the same head sculpt and the hair and hat pop off. Just like the other Lady J.
Yeah, so, thankfully they didn't glue it.
Oh yeah, could you imagine? Uproar. already people have swapped wigs. I swapped the wigs. The Retro will be my main Lady J, but I prefer her without the hat. So yeah, like people are already doing that, which is great. Mm-hmm. Jay says, Lady J finally washed that dirty ass uniform. That's actually funny. That's like Lady J heard the feedback and was like, right, I'm putting this in the wash now. Because I'm going to put some makeup on. I'm going to throw this in the wash. Amazing. Anyway, cool. Yeah. So that's the Walmart talk. I know, obviously, we could get, I mean, we've discussed it. We've had your comments in here. We don't really need to go into any more details, guys. Everyone's kind of annoyed at the way they were shipped. It was pretty brutal. And that's Walmart, isn't it? I mean, they have precedent for this. It's probably always going to be the way. Your best bet is either to cancel the order, to return it, and then to just, you know, try and get it on shelves. That's probably your best option. If you want it immaculate. It, like, the only way to guarantee that is to get it in hand and buy it in hand, because there's no other way, really. Like, even if you were to order it and they were to ship it to you, we really, really carefully, there's no guarantee that box is not going to be delivered by Ace Ventura, kicked down the street, and then, you know, swished through the door. It's just, you know, you just don't know. So yeah, that's probably your only bet. Anyway, let's move on then to the next story. And this will be me doing a book report, basically, Pat. I hope you don't mind.
Okay.
The long-awaited young adult novel Classified Book 1 by Kelly Skovran finally delivered this week for those of us who pre-ordered back in June of 2021. The book is a reimagining of the G.I. Joe universe with Classified as the all-encompassing style. It follows a group of young high school kids and their fight against a tech giant, Decobre Industries, who have taken over a small town in the USA called Springfield. This is not your normal G.I. Joe and is establishing known characters in a completely different universe, but I have already read it and it was so much better than I thought it was going to be. Well, let future me talk about it.
If I've read a book in 2 days, then there's something to it, because one, it's me. Two, I can't read. Three, no, it is like, this is so much better than I thought it was going to be. It's like a complete reimagining of the universe. So characters are different ages, different like levels. That we're not talking about some sort of military group just yet, and we're not talking about Cobra necessarily as well, kind of established they are, but like in secret. So there's a really interesting, I'm not going to spoil anything for anyone either. I'm not going to like tell you the whole story. I just wanted to kind of somehow explain that if I can read a book in 2 days. And I had no time to do this. It was like at night, like just before I went to bed, I read a couple of chapters. And then like at spots during the day, I'd have it at hand and I'd just be like, But it was one of those ones where I just couldn't put it down. I struggled to put it down. I had to put it down because I had to do other things like work and, you know, prep things for this show. But I was so, so surprised. Now, one, I'm not the target audience. No matter what people think about my mental age, I probably am the target audience because I'm probably about 8 years old in mentally, but I'm not really, in terms of like their target demographic. This is aimed at young adults, so the characters are like kind of young high school age, I think like as young as like 13 or 15 some of the characters in it. So you're not really talking like, this is not aimed at me. This is aimed at young adults. I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, because I think I'm a young adult. I think that's what's happened here. But it's like from the perspective of this kid, Stan, and he's going to this him and his mom are moving to this new place, Springfield. So her mom works at Decobre Industries, obviously. They're a big tech giant. And there's this new technology that only this town is allowed to utilize, and the school and the, you know, all the people and everything. And obviously that tech, again, I won't spoil anything, but it's very much like, you know, it's kind of like a commentary on smartphones in a sense. But it's a little bit more in kind of complex than that. But the story was actually really intriguing, and all the characters pop up. This is the beauty part. Kelly doesn't always use the kind of code names, so he'll drop in like a name, like the first name, or then or a Mr. whatever or a Mrs. whatever, or a, you know, and then you'll go, hang on, I know that. And then there's one which caught me completely by surprise. I had to look it up. I'm not going to say who it is, but one of the characters, I'm like, that rings a bell, that name, but I don't think it's been used in a lot of media.
So it's not limited to just the characters that we've gotten as classified figures.
No, I don't know. I think we've got other characters in there that certainly weren't classified figures at the time, and us other characters that maybe haven't been revealed yet as well. But it's one of those things where you most of the book I spent kind of like going and unraveling, oh, who could that be? Who's that going to be? Do you know what I mean? Like, so it was kind of fun like that in a sense. for the most part, you find out, and some of them are obvious. I'm going to say one that's, no, actually, I won't say it because I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. So I won't say any names because that does come up a little bit halfway through the book. But again, it's I think this is part of a trilogy as well. So I'm really excited to get book two already, just to kind of see where it goes. But they've reimagined the characters. So they're recognizable, but the stories have changed, the backgrounds have changed, the origins have changed. So like I said, this is not your regular G.I. Joe. And and the other thing is I'm not 100% sure how tightly wound it is to the classified figure universe, just based on a few of those things. That's another thing I want to say on that one, Pat. I don't think it's like, you know, going to be the be all and end all for classified media.
Do you think it was going to be part of classified canon prior to kind of the shift that we've seen in the line?
I want to say yes. I want to say that does sound very like it could have been the case. The only thing that puts a wrench in the works there are two characters that were in the first wave that are in this book that are vastly different ages. And that would make me think that when I look at the figures, I wonder, you know, how that would make sense. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I said, I won't give anything away. If you guys are reading it, like, go, great. You know, I'm sure you're getting what I'm getting out of it. And something that Diana just mentioned in the comments there. Hi, Diana. Yeah, this is interesting. There's some scenes that took me by surprise, and that's the same. Because of the age group it's aimed at, there's some brutal moments in there. Some like whoa, I was not expecting that. And it's kind of like, okay, that kind of raises it up a little bit more, makes it a bit more interesting, a bit more like, you know, young adult rather than young child, if that makes sense. So there's some good moments in there where I'm like, wow, I'm surprised they did that. But yeah, really, really nice. Really enjoyed it. This isn't like, I don't think a lot of people are going to necessarily love it. Like, I don't think it's going to be one of those things where every Joe fan is going to be like, oh, this is great. Cause you know, a lot of the Joe fans, they'll see this and they'll think, well, you know, it's not my G.I. Joe, and that's totally fine, but you don't have to look at it as that. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to look at it as like, this is ruined, this is changing everything, and I don't like it. It can, I think it kind of it'd be stand out as a nice little kind of story, just as the book one does, on its own without the other two books coming. Bryn has asked, are the kids younger versions of the Joe characters, or are the kids working with the Joes? I don't want to say, Bryn, because I will say, it's a little bit of column A and it's a little of column B. So one thing I will say is the Joes are not established. G.I. Joe is not an established group, as I can tell from that first book. It's not an established group yet. So at the moment, there's kind of like a little bit of, you know, some over here, some over here, some over here. You know, like, so yeah, that's all I'll say in terms of spoilers. But it's great. It's real fun. And I definitely like suggest at least trying it out. Cause it's like I said, I read it in 2 days. And like I said, I didn't have a lot of time to do it in. So it's a quick read. Like I said, if you've got like a couple of hours, well, I've got like an hour a day to spare, you get through it easily in like, you know, 2 or 3 days, no problem. All the text is really big, so that's great for me. I'm kidding. It's just like, all I will say though, I was kind of half expecting a little like halfway point, like images from Phil Noto or something. Do you know what I mean? Like some like artwork, but he only does the cover and the rest of it is just no pictures in the book. I know that sounds like me being like a real child, like doesn't have any pictures, but you know how some of those books like halfway through there'll be like the little glossy photo images in the middle. I was kind of half expecting just a few illustrations here and there, like a Roald Dahl book or something. But no, that wasn't the case. So if you're expecting some sort of like, you know, images, it's only the cover that you get to really work with. Neil Hill says, cut to the chase, Chris. When do they reveal future figures in the book? Do you know what? I don't think they do. I genuinely don't think they do. I think everyone that's mentioned in it is kind of in the line, more or less. I could be wrong. Diana, correct me if I'm wrong. You don't have to say who it is, but I might be wrong on that. I can't remember off the top of my head. Anyway, it's worth it. What was I going to say other than that? I think that's it. That's all I need to really say on it. Are you interested in reading this in any way, shape, or form, Pat? And you, obviously, you don't have to be.
Honestly, probably not. I don't think this is going to be one of the ones that I pick up. I'm so crazy busy lately, so...
I totally understand that. I didn't think I thought I'd be reading it for weeks, but no, I managed to get through it, so I was quite happy with that. Anyway, that is Geodo Classified Book 1. So big shout out to Kelly Scovran for busting out a fun bit of media for me to enjoy related to Classified. And hopefully we'll get to see book two very soon, a lot sooner than we saw book one when it was, they've been working on it actually, book two and book three. I know Kelly's been working on book two recently, so fingers crossed it'll be coming out soon. Jeremy Kimberlin has asked, where's Naked HD? I believe he's on screen as we're speaking, Jeremy. Look at him. Lies.
I say nothing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, that's the book. On to the next story then, Pat. And obviously, we've had, since last week, we had a lot happen on our last episode, moments after we actually finished our episode. And obviously,
as usual,
it was the panel, obviously. Lots of cool stuff has happened in that time period. So let's kind of go through it, because I went through this with Mark Seddon on the News Burst. Shout out to Mark. I'll be joining him and Tim for their next episode of their show as well, Talking Joe. We're recording after this one. So looking forward to that. Anyway, shout out to Mark. Go check out Talking Joe and Tim. Go check out Talking Joe, the podcast. And we did discuss it in detail, but Pat, we need to discuss it in detail. So let's get on to SDCC, the panel.
Shortly after last week's episode, the G.I. Joe brand team, consisting of Emily and Lenny, ran a classified panel revealing character name only reveals in Lowlight and the Cobra flight pod with a Televiper. The final two Walmart retro card backs were also revealed as Crimson Guard and Snake Eyes version 1. The CG has a different red deco, silver faceplate, and a red backpack this time around, and Snake Eyes gets a new head sculpt as well as some new accessories and a different build in order to have him replicate that OG 13 release from 82. Both figures also appeared on the show floor following the panel for attendees to really get a good look at all the new details. The HasLab Hiss Tank was discussed, with a painted prototype of the monstrous vehicle and Hiss Driver, along with 2D mockups of the retro Cobra Commander and the female gunner. Then it got real as Serpentor with his air chariot came out to play. Product images as well as some beautiful box art shots were revealed to oohs and ahs from the captivated audience. Serpentor also made his way to the show floor during the panel, and my word, does he look good. The show was not over, however, as previously revealed name-only characters were shown off in their early development sculpt phases. Rock and Roll, Torpedo, Copperhead and Shipwreck and Polly were all on show and have given us a lot to talk about. To cap the fun off, Hasbro Pulse put Dr. Mindbender up for pre-order yesterday for premium Pulse members, and from what we could tell, they sold out before regular Pulse users could get in on the action. The Sarge also went up again on Pulse and is still available as of this recording. He's also still available in a number of places, so plenty of Sarges to go around. And while we are talking about pre-orders, Super 7's SDCC offerings are now also available through BBTS.
Right then, lots to get through on this one, Pat. Like I said, at the end of our episode, we finished, and then it was like the panel. And there's obviously loads to get through, so we'll motor through it, but we'll get through it in decent time. Now, the first talking point I wanted to kind of go through with you were the name-only reveals of Lowlight and the Cobra Flight Pod, aka the Trouble Bubble, with a Televiper. What are your thoughts on these being added to the classified line? Start with Lowlight.
Well, with Lowlight, I think that this is a good opportunity for them to really dig into some good accessories.
Definitely.
Because that 25th figure or whatever
Pursuit it is. Cobra, wasn't it? Was it Pursuit of Cobra?
Pursuit of Cobra, yeah. That one was excellent, and it came with a lot of stuff. So I think that the bar is kind of set there. That's a pretty high bar for them to try to reach. But they don't have to do everything the same way or even include as much as came with that, because that thing was kind of packed in with maybe even too many accessories.
And the smallest accessory ever made, probably.
Yeah, a bullet. Yeah, good luck keeping track of that.
Well, at least it'd be classified scale. At least, like, it would be a bit bigger, maybe.
It'd probably be the same, wouldn't it?
You're right, actually. It was a little bit too big, wasn't it, for the
but it was fun. It was fun. But yeah, I kind of think that I kind of am curious to see. This is one of the few figures that whenever I wasn't really focused on collecting G.I. Joe, I still got a low light. So
yeah. He's definitely one of those. He's definitely one of those characters that's in the really popular bracket, but not. He's not like a tier one character, should we say? But he is so popular that you almost kind of is pushing into that tier in terms of like the core characters. Low light is always a bit late to the party, though, and that's why I would say even though he's super popular and everyone seems to really enjoy that figure and like that figure and like the character, he doesn't. He's never in that first group of figures, is he? He's always like further down the line, as we're seeing in Classified as well. The fact that it took them, you know, the Pursuit of Cobra to get to low light, you know, is you know, kind of like a big highlight of that particular comment. Anyway, I'm really excited for low light, big time. I think removable goggles is a must as well. You know, like just boop, boop. Maybe keep, you can like, you know, have the beanie sculpted on. He doesn't need to have, you know, the hair out,
right.
Definitely the removable goggles will be awesome. The sniper rifle modular would be great. I've got a feeling they're going to stick very close to the vintage on this one, though. What do you think? Or do you think they might? Because they have dabbled in kind of trying to emulate certain 25th and other later figure kind of loadouts, haven't they?
I just think that assembling a sniper rifle is a fun feature for a toy to have. So if I could pick, I would like his sniper rifle to be more like the 25th one and something that you assemble.
Yeah, and like the bag, like that kind of fold open bag type thing. Yeah, that'd be so cool. I'm excited. Imagine if you had like a little rollout mat. Could you imagine that you could like put down and then get on as a... That would be so cool.
Yeah, or a water bottle or something.
Yeah, just any all those little bits and pieces would be so much fun on him. So like really excited for that. Trouble Bubble. That is something that the entire fandom has been shouting from the rooftops for since the line started, or since we got the coil cycle, I would say. Since we knew vehicles were going to be happening, the Trouble Bubble has been shouted, hasn't it, like from the fandom. Are you excited to get it?
Yeah, it's a small vehicle that completely makes sense for them to make because it's one of Cobra's iconic vehicles. And I kind of thought that this was how we would end up seeing a Cobra Commander. Maybe we still will see a repaint of the Trouble Bubble with, you know, a redeco of that Cobra Commander that's coming with a Hiss.
Absolutely. Ryan says maybe they'll surprise us and make the low light that came with the Dino Hunter set.
Right.
And then we'll get Ambush as well. I'll be well into that. So I'm trying to. I'm also looking at your comments as well, guys. So when we get into it, I tend to like completely ignore you on the other side of the screen. Televiper as well. But I mean, well, actually, let's talk about before we get onto that. The Trouble Bubble for me, I'm so excited to see what kind of details go into that. Like if they're going to have the removable engine piece at the back with the kind of the flaps at the bottom, like the kind of like fins almost, the kind of directional fins. The kind of hoping that the bubble part actually is on a hinge but can come off as well. I don't know why, maybe to get the figure in for ease. But like all those different like parts that you recognize on the original, I really hope we get some features. And that air mine thing as well, I want that in there too.
Yeah, that'd be cool. If they don't include that though, I could kind of see, you know, costing that out kind of makes sense. I'm curious to see if the canopy is kind of subdivided. The same way that they did the canopy for the Hiss tank. Maybe they'll you know, add some details or some support, metal support in there for the bubble.
Gull wing bubble.
Right.
So he can quickly get in the side if he needs to. Oh, that'd be so funny, wouldn't it? Definitely like maybe some like detailing in and around the bubble, like kind of, yeah, like you say, like some kind of metal frame or something. I feel like they're going to go close to the vintage on it, but I would like them to kind of, you know, add some sort of classified touch to it. You know, it's going to be detailed to the hilt. The Televiper, my God, I've been waiting for the Televiper for so long. Like ever since Classified kicked off, I've been wanting Tele Vipers, and it makes me really excited. So far with the Baroness and with Breaker and with Duke, we haven't had a ton of accessories necessarily with the figure. But the Tele Viper kind of needs the backpack. He needs that like weird like TV gun. And he needs that like the lens. And he needs like I feel like he needs a lot of other cool stuff to go with him. And Lenny did mention that they're doing different readouts on the they're going to be different readout lenses that go on this particular figure, which is a freaking awesome addition if you ask me. But are we going to be seeing a figure with a vehicle this time with tons of accessories, do you think?
You know, I don't really think that they'll give him a ton of accessories. I think the weird thing about the Tele Viper is that it's one of those things that over time, you know, now we have everybody's equipped with a camera phone.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, back in 1985, it took a special person with a rugged camera in order to take footage of things, apparently, for Cobra. So, I don't know. I think that he definitely needs to have some kind of crazy camera, and whatever the updated 2023 probably, I guess, kind of look to this thing is, then that's kind of what I'm curious to see.
Yeah, I cannot wait. And obviously it opens the door for a Python Patrol Tele Viper, which just makes me even more excited. Sure. And a Tiger Force Lowlight, which doesn't exist.
Night Force low light that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Hint, hint. Absolutely. Eco Warriors low light. It's going to have to be Dino Hunters, isn't it?
It's going to have to be Dino Hunters, where he got his blonde hair back. Because it was blonde, then he dyed it for like the 91 low light, and then he got it back in blonde for Dino Hunters. Like he just washed that out.
Yeah, exactly. He heard the feedback. That's why, Pat. Just like Lady Jane Gung Ho heard the feedback. Right then. Well, that is Lowlight and Tele Viper and the Trouble Bubble. They also revealed this beautiful Crimson Guard. They've changed the red deco. So the red is a lot brighter. Silver faceplate. I think the holster's red as well. That isn't red on the original. And the red backpack as well. So a few kind of elements there to make this one more like the original. What are your thoughts on them doing this for one of the last retro cards?
Kind of surprised me, to be honest, because for a couple of reasons, but the change in the red, like whenever they first showed it, I thought, is that brighter? But Emily had said in a previous stream that they made effort to make sure that the red on the Crimson Guards was going to match the red on Tomax and Zaymot.
Yeah.
So that when you had any of the Crimson stuff together, it would all match. And now here we are with a Crimson Guard that intentionally looks kind of different.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Maybe this is meant to emulate the comic or the cartoon, but I would be fine with the red kind of staying the same. But that said, I'm still probably going to get this one. I like the silver faceplate on it. Not necessarily better than the other Crimson Guard. I just like the variety of having it both ways.
Yeah, same on that one. I almost feel like they're kind of taking a leaf out of Super 7's book and doing like comic homage and things like and cartoon homage a little bit here and there, but not to the degree that Super 7 do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. And the other thing with Super 7 is they are strictly like looking at like direct, like almost like taking it off the page or off the screen. That's what Super 7 are doing. With the classified line, there's so many other variables that go into it, like updating this and changing that and making this more realistic. So it's not like, you know, they're not really tied to that kind of thing. So when they do a little, you know, deco homage, for example, it doesn't necessarily vibe in the same way. And that's why I think they threw this on a retro card. So it's more of a, you know, an original style, vintage looking like homage. It's not really, I don't think they're necessarily doing this so that people army build them and throw them in with the other Crimson Guards and Tomax and Zaymots. But, and I think for that point of not having the same red being like the main issue for that. But yeah, I think it'll be a nice one to kind of display with the rest of your retro cards and, And yeah, I'm definitely going to get one or two or three or four or five or six or seven or 12 or 90 or 150 of them. Okay, next up then, we also had a Snake Eyes reveal. Now, at first glance, everyone was probably looking at this because obviously the images that were dropping before this nice image came out, and this isn't even very clear, may I add. It's still effectively a silhouette. The image they had that were making the rounds for the panel did not really give us a good idea of what this figure looked like. So it was really nice that they threw the figure out on the show floor as well. Now, what I will say about this figure is that it's nowhere near the same as the Alpha Commandos one. You're looking at a different build, different accessories, and you can see it on, this is obviously on the show floor, but it shows you a really, I mean, he looks great, doesn't he? I mean, that is like that's a vintage one homage done to perfection, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. He's kind of doing the pointing pose.
Amazing. And Fred Axon, 2D Sculpts, Instagram, posted this very clear render of the sculpt of the head, which is brand new. Now, you might be thinking they just use the Alpha Commandos one. That is not the case. We had a look at, but we kind of brushed over it on the news burst last weekend, but there's a lot of differences here, and I've put them kind of side by side. Now, the shape of the head is different, for one. They use piping instead of lines, in like, so you've got like a thick piping that kind of, you know, frames the mask, should we say. You can see there's a lot more kind of like material folding on that one as well. The goggles are different shapes. So you can see it very, very clearly in the nose part and like the edge of the goggles, very different, vastly different shapes. The kind of vents on the mouth are in a different place. And I would say that this is done more like a material, lighter material mask. And the Alpha Commandos is more of a helmet or like a, you know, like a solid
guys version 4 kind of armored mouth as well.
Absolutely. It's funny, isn't it, that now that these are out, the one on the right actually does lend itself a lot better to version 4. It's kind of weird that.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. But anyway, what are your thoughts on this going with a new head sculpt completely, Pat?
Well, they've definitely done a good job of making it not easy to skip the retro carded one. Like, I will definitely be picking that up, even though I have the Alpha Commandos Snake Eyes.
Yeah. I'm definitely getting this one too. Like, it's an absolute beauty. And there's also a full sculpt image of it. 2D Sculpts, Instagram, Fred Axon. If you're not following him, you should be. He always posts his amazing sculpt work for the figures. This is the 7th Snake Eyes that he's worked on in his career. Isn't that awesome?
That is really cool.
I want to know who's worked on the most. I imagine Fred's getting there. But then again, 7 out of 100 and something versions, like, someone's definitely worked on a few more, I reckon.
John Wood, maybe.
Oh yeah, true. What did I see? Oh, Luke mentioned that Lenny said that the retro Crimson Guard was Sunbow colors inspired. Thank you, Luke, for that. That makes a little bit more sense. Yeah, and X Factor 17 says the retro Snake Eyes is a stalker body, isn't it? Yeah, there's a lot of stalker parts on there, isn't it? It's the legs. The even the holsters and the sheath on the thighs are the same, I think. And yeah, the body and the arms, that's, yeah, it's basically Stalker with the Snake Eyes new head. But then also the new accessories as well, which are cool, like the kind of like the ammo pack thing is really, really dope too. And I think it's got removable grenades too, which is really fun. Let me just go back again to see that. Yeah, you got two removable canister grenades, I think, on that too, which is pretty dope. Really, really excited about this one, weirdly enough. Another Snake Eyes figure, and I'm really excited about it. What is wrong with me? Anyway, that Snake Eyes, very excited for that one. Then we got the Serpentor reveal. Now, this one came with a few little surprises here. So, obviously, we've got the Air Chariot. We knew that was kind of coming as well, thanks to those leaked images of the fins. But what are your thoughts on Serpentor, first and foremost? Pat, were you blown away? Were you excited? What were your thoughts?
Well, you know, all this was happening kind of, as you know, I had to go to work.
Of course.
And so I was not having the ability to really sit down and stare at them. So my first look at Serpentor was just a glance.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. Coming back to it, though, I think I'm not with popular opinion that because I really don't like that head sculpt. There's a lot about it that it's not just one or two things. I genuinely just do not like the head sculpt.
Okay, you can take us through it.
Well, the main thing that really my eyes go to every time I see it is the fact that they've positioned the teeth of the snake to be right here rather than on either side of the eyes.
Right, right.
You know, it's a creative choice. I just don't like the way that it looks. To me, it kind of looks like he's really struggling to squeeze his head into a Serpentor snake mask that's too small for him. And it kind of has like the way that it contours so close to his face, it kind of has like almost like a diving suit look to it, like a wetsuit.
Yeah.
Rather than looking like a helmet. I think that the original Serpentor looked like he was this almost like a pompous idiot that was wearing what he felt a snake looked like, while this mask is trying very hard to look like a real snake. And it doesn't convey the depth even of the original Serpentor. Like the original Serpentor, it was a separate piece of plastic that made the jaw as well as the top of the head. And the way that they've done this, like those bottom teeth are like right against his chin. I think that a much larger head with you could tell they used a different piece for the top, obviously, because that's changeable. Yeah, there's two separate pieces.
Yeah.
But I think they needed that for the entire Serpentor mask. Like everything around it needed to have that layering. And it just doesn't. I don't like the way that it looks.
Mate, you can absolutely, you know, that's totally up to you to feel that way, and you do, so that's totally valid. I agree with you on a few of those points, though. Definitely think that the teeth, if you go back to this shot, kind of make him look a little bit cross-eyed in the fact that they're like right in the middle. I would also go as far as to say it would have been nice to get a little bit more depth in the head inside the mask. From what I can tell, what they've done is they've, in the terms of like the realistic, like if this was done realistically, it would be a very tight wetsuit, almost like diving suit, and then like the helmet bit on top just kind of like goes over the top of it. That's exactly what I imagine they were thinking when it came to like, well, how would this work in real life? But I think you're right. I think it needs to be more like the helmet needs to be a bit wider and thicker out, and then the head needs to be kind of almost like separately sculpted and fused inside it. Kind of like how, I haven't got an example with me, but I know that Boss Fight did it on the Lucha Libre figures. When they did a mask, rather than doing like one sculpt, so it was a mask and then like the eyes and the mouth inside it, they did a head sculpt and then they put the mask over that, if that makes sense. So that obviously it's not a full head sculpt. It's only like this bit and this bit are done, and then the mask is kind of like goes over the top and glues into that position.
But it really gives that depth. Feeling of depth.
Yeah, depth is what you need in those situations. I will say, though, I know you're like down on it, but I am not at all. Like when I look at this figure, it just blows me away. Like the fact that I agree with a lot of your points that you're making on the head sculpt, but it doesn't take away from me what is effectively a really sensational figure and vehicle. Packaging wise, again, we get that kind of lovely kind of like, I think it's like the partner or like a companion piece to Mindbenders.
Packaging is definitely good.
It's just next level, isn't it? And again, we get this thing. Now, what I didn't notice before I did last week's stream was that he comes with a stiffened snake, which is amazing. So the green, I think it's the third on the left panel. It's the third in, like, kind of closest to Serpentor. It's a long green snake, and it's perfect for, you know, that Pythonocene, Pat. So do you think, or Duke, obviously, do you think we're getting a Pythona is what I'll say?
Oh, no, I don't think we're getting a Pythona, but that'd be awesome.
Well, funny you should say that.
That would be a hit. I think that she would be a popular figure.
Funny you should say that, though, because Emily... let slip, but she did an interview with a Toy Kind of Mood. I'll shout out Travis Moody, a Toy Kind of Mood. And on that interview, you can see it, we posted the link on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. In that little interview, they asked them what they're like, they'd love to see kind of characters wise in the future. And Lenny said Rolling Thunder. He said, it's never going to happen, but that would be my dream. And Emily was pushing hard for Pythona. So the fact that Emily's pushing hard for Pythona makes me think that, well, maybe we're probably going to get a Pythona at some point. Anyway, the stiffened snake, I think people are laughing in the comments that I said that. But yeah, it's
surprised you're not laughing that you said that.
Lol, I am inside. Okay. Anyway, amazing, lovely, lovely packaging. And like we said, he comes with the standard cowl, which plugs into the backpack port. So you can have the kind of the classic kind of look. Or you can have this one, which is kind of like a new kind of like vibe they've got going on, where it's like one piece that merges onto the head and goes down the back, which is kind of sexy. And when I look at the packaging artwork, it's very reminiscent of that, isn't it? Like what they've created artwork wise is similar to what they've done here with the figure. What about the Air Chariot, Pat? What are your thoughts on the Air Chariot?
Similarly, it's not quite hitting it for me. I mean, it looks very much like a classic Air Chariot in a color that I'm not crazy about. It feels like it needs to be more regal, more of a bright gold. Like he really needs to be just covered in gold and outlandishness. I think that they set a bar whenever they made the Snake Supreme Cobra Commander. Of creating a figure that really looks very into himself, who's just decorated himself wildly and insanely. And I don't know. I think that this one, it needs gold paint is what it needs. Like all over it. There's clearly in the center section, it looks like it's been painted as to differentiate it from the base color of the plastic. But I think the entire thing just needs gold paint all over it. And then some other details in there. You know, gold plastic is rough because it breaks easily over time.
Yeah.
But I actually appreciate that they're not just making it out of something that looks like it's going to snap in a few years. But yeah, I know I'm coming across as tough to please on this one. Most of the time I get criticized for being too easy to please and loving everything. But just looking at this Serpentor, I don't like the guns that they've even chosen for this. It doesn't feel like it fits with the style of Serpentor's Air Chariot. There's so many choices on this that I'm looking at them and be like, why did they go that way? I considered not buying this.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
It's going to be a lot of money. So it's a lot of money going toward, my eyes are going to be so focused on those teeth and I'm not going to be able to get past that.
Okay. Well, Pat, I'll be the dissenter on this one because I think this is fantastic. Like, and I know I am the classic shill on this one, but you know you're not alone. X Factor 17 says, "Preach, Pat." I feel the exact same way.
Okay.
Pat is just not into this Serpentor figure. Absolutely. Jay Straver says, "If they'd made the Chariot gold, people would complain about it not being retro." Pat has so much rage as he's not trolling as Naked HD at the moment, says Jerry. here we go. This is Sean Forrester. Pat is bringing up good points, but it's still a must-buy for me. I think that is the thing that I'm getting here from what Pat's saying is I agree with quite a lot of the points he's making, but at the same time, I look at it and I think this is still amazing. Like, I love the cape is really cool and has that kind of snake print on it, which is really, mm-hmm. really awesome. I think the Air Chariot looks amazing. I just think I love what they've done with it. I love the fact there's the gun in the mouth of the head and the little mouth opens up. I love the fact that it's got landing gear. I think that's a lovely
that's really
touch.
Cool.
So yeah, like I'm kind of, again, other people like Absorbvids, I feel the same as Pat. Slave says Cobra Supreme Coco was in the classified style where Serpentor is more in the classic style. The line has gone recently. That's a very good point, actually. It seems to have followed that design change, hasn't it? I think, Pat, you'd have gotten what you wanted had it been the same early kind of like Snake Supreme style design choices.
I don't know. I think from the neck down, he kind of follows, you know, something more vintage. But the head looks like they really are going for something new to me. I think it'd be cool if they went with like a, if you know, it's Serpentor. He's had like 6 or 7 figures. It's crazy how few times Serpentor has been made. I think it'd be really cool if they also released later on, like without a chariot, maybe the bare-chested Serpentor from early on in the comics with a new head sculpt that I could just pop onto this one, and then I could have, you know, I could have what I want.
Jeremy says, is it perfect? No, but still going to snag one.
Right. Yeah. I'll probably buy one too. It's, I'm going to have a hard time passing it up knowing that maybe somebody could make something that would make me happy.
Ed says, I definitely feel like the guns on the chariot are a misfit. The guns could have been more sci-fi. Yeah. I think that is a good point, Ed.
This is definitely a time for some Nerf guns on there. I would have really enjoyed a proper Nerf gun on this, each side of the air chariot.
Jay says, more Serpentor for me. Ionic Blood 666 says, wait till you see it in person. Your collection will thank you. We shouldn't praise it anyway. He's Cobra, says Anonymous Dude 123. Brian says, the figure and chariot should be carved of 24 karat gold and cost $13,500. Yep, agreed. S. Meyer says, I honestly think this is pretty intensely ornate. The chariot sculpt is really outstanding. I think coating it in gold paint probably would have made this thing $100 plus.
You know, I was kind of thinking that too, but then I got the new Target set with Gold Bug in it, and he's covered in gold paint. And that's, you know, like $75 for 4 figures, for 4 Transformers.
Yeah, you go. He needs to have a removable helmet like the 25th anniversary had. I would have settled with what Pat was mentioning about the head sculpt. But again, like, I still look at it and I think, wow, this is crazy. I love it. I love the whole package as well. And I love that it's all coming together, and it's like, again, with the packaging is really awesome as a display. I don't know. I think it's going to be one of those ones where you see it in hand and you're like, oh yeah, this is fantastic. S. Myers says, I do agree though. Wrong guns. 50 cals feels too utilitarian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed on that one. It's an interesting choice. Definitely. We don't know the price on it yet, Eddie. What do you think the price will be, Pat, off by the way?
For some reason, my feeling was about $80.
That was mine, actually. I kind of felt like it would be initially, when I was talking myself through it, I was thinking, well, it's a little bit more. It's going to be more than your Baroness and Cycle and your Duke and Ram. So it's probably more likely in the 60 to 80 range, I think.
But those are figures like without accessories. So those are like less than a standard figure. And this looks like it's a deluxe figure.
With vehicle, yeah.
Plus vehicle. So yeah. I was thinking a lot more like $80.
Well, packaging is going to raise it up again as well. So yeah, there's a lot of variables that you've got to take into consideration there. RKW1138 says more guns for Roadblock. And you've got enough Roadblocks to go around as well. Jay Straber says, Serpentor can have an ion cannon on that thing and it wouldn't matter. One arrow to his eye and he's down. Absolutely. Yep. S. Myers says, hoping for 70, thinking 80. I think it will be 80.
I agree with that. I would hope it's closer to 70, but yeah.
David R. says, I'm hoping in the 60 to 80 range. It could be 75. I could see it being 75. Yeah. That would be cool. He should have capability. Hello, Dan K. He should have the capability, like the Talking Commanders, to shout, this I command. Absolutely. Okay. Sean has asked, are we thinking this will be hard to get? Just a bit concerned with the recent Mindbender sellout. Sean, what's weird about the Mindbender thing, I think it's a perceived thing at the moment where, because it's sold out on that last day, that it's going to, they haven't done that many. But It, you know, you're talking about a lot of people ordered during SDCC, even people that weren't at SDCC. So I think I think a lot of people have got that figure. It's just a few people that were waiting for the back end and weren't Pulse Premium members have lost out a little bit. That said, I do think we're going to see Mindbender appear again. I don't think it's the last we'll see of Mindbender. In terms of this particular figure, I don't think it'll be hard to get. No, I think this will be just a general one that will have plenty of people, you know, able to get hold of it. Plus, the Mindbender was limit to one. So unless you had multiple accounts, then, you know, the fact that they made more than they've usually made of deluxe figures, and they sold out with one limit of one of a figure. So I think most people have got them. For those that haven't, I'm not saying that, you know, but I do think that, you know, you'll get an opportunity to grab one again.
Do you think that we'll get another opportunity to get Mindbender or no?
That's what I was saying. I think we'll get another opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that's the last we've seen of Mindbender. I think they're just being a bit careful with how they're released. They're doing it in small segments rather than just going, hey, sometimes I don't know why they bother. It's just like, get the bloody thing out there, get it out as much as you can, and then sell out, actually sell out. but who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I'm sure Emily will kind of give us a rumor post at some point. Jace Traber, not going to lie, I ordered two Mindbenders. Again, multiple accounts, you can do that. Dan Case, he thinks $74.99 for Serpentor, and I think that would be, I think that would be
the prices right now we're doing on Serpentor.
Amazing. Luke says Lenny's going crazy if he's listening to this. They want realistic guns, but now they want Nerf guns on the chariot. Poor Lenny. Well, it's you know, it's Pat's opinion and it's mine. It's different opinions.
I liked the Nerf guns whenever those were, like, whenever Beachhead was shown with them. So
samesies. It's no slight for me. It's no slight on the figure. The figure's amazing, guys. I think it's incredible. Anyway, we'll move on now, and we'll move on to the panel recap reveals for what had been previously just named reveals, and now we're getting sculpt reveals. Pat, what are your thoughts on Rock and Roll?
Looking forward to this one. I think that we were really thinking that he'd be more Rock and Roll version 2, and he's more version 1. I think this is definitely showing that we are going to be getting the most of the 1982 lineup. We'll see about Grand Slam, but I think that there's a good chance that they're going to be filling in all of those characters before too long.
Yeah, definitely. I love the fact that he's got multiple like bullet belt kind of options here. So you've got the kind of cross strap bullets, you've got the long bullet belt that goes into the M60.
Yeah.
And then you've got like a smaller bullet like stub to make it look like he's, you know, rinsed through all of it. I think anyway, that could just be for the clip on the side for the, make it look like an extra mag of bullets, but, you know, like a rolled up lot of bullets, which is awesome. Loads of secondary pieces going on there. That's going to be a very nice figure, and the helmet as well, which is awesome. It looks like, so that's a removable helmet, isn't it? And we did see the, I'm not sure if it's two head sculpts or if it's a removable helmet and the head sculpt has got the hair underneath it. I'm not sure what they're doing because I wasn't clear on that. But it looks awesome, and it kind of, I think we can probably, with a secondary, a different head hat kind of piece, and obviously loads of different weapons, we can get a version 2 out of this too.
I agree. I think we maybe even talked about that before, that they could have gone with a sculpt that's somewhere in between, and that they could actually, you know, with some color, make it kind of both ways. I do wonder if the ammo belt there is the same one that's across his chest and then actually fits into the gun.
Well, no, the one across his chest is a piece. It's like a secondary that goes over him, and that's there on the left as well. And then the long
belt. How am I not even looking at that?
I did initially think that maybe that long piece straps over, like crosses over him, but no, they've got like an actual secondary that goes over him. And then the long bullet is for, you know, displaying, like holding, like a Rambo style, holding the M60 in one hand and having his arm out like that with the bullet wrapped over him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to do some Rambo posing on this one. Dan K says he needs some color, lols. No, they're just going to do these gray, I think, Dan. So there's Rock and Roll, awesome. We also get Torpedo. I was really excited. Well, I wasn't that fussed when I heard that they were doing Torpedo, because I'm more of a wetsuit guy, and more so in terms of the cooler accessories and shape, more diverse and more color and all that kind of stuff. But when this was posted, I was like, okay, I take it back. I'm really excited for Torpedo. How good does this one look?
I'm more of a torpedo guy than a wetsuit guy, so I was kind of excited that they went with him first. I think it looks great. This is kind of what I was expecting from a torpedo. But yeah, I eager to see it in color, of course, but I'm expecting, you know, black and gray and in exactly the spots that we would imagine. I'm curious to see his head sculpt, though, because it looks like the mask is removable.
They did show the head sculpt on the panel. These are just the kind of clearer shots, but to the bottom right-hand side of the panel shot, it's effectively like an airtight style head where the kind of like the face is showing, but it's in a diving mask suit kind of thing.
There's so the much actual going on San Diego Comic-Con week that I know I've missed probably 100 things.
Oh, no doubt. Just watch 7 hours of the footage that I've been doing, Pat, and you'll be caught up in no time.
Watch probably 2 hours of the 7 hours of the footage.
But that mask, that will go over the front and then the breather goes over it. And then if you take that away, he's just got the face is exposed in the kind of wetsuit kind of thing, which is pretty cool. And again, like amazing. The harpoon clip into the side is great. I think it clips to the thigh actually, which is even cooler. And then you've got, you know, the knife that goes in the sheath. You've got the flippers, the backpack, the kind of, you know, his little swimming tank, his oxygen tanks, and everything. Just so awesome. And the little submachine gun as well is a nice touch for him when he's on land, which is brilliant. I'm very excited now to get this one. He looks brilliant. So yeah, Copperhead. This was an interesting one, I think, because a lot of people were saying that they wanted him to be a bit beefier, a bit bigger. And I kind of like do sort of agree with that to some degree. But then someone put out a very good point saying, well, maybe they're making him a little slender so that he fits in an upcoming vehicle, possibly. What are your thoughts on that, Pat?
I can't see the water moccasin being one of the vehicles that we get in the 25th line or in the classified series line, just because it would need to be so big. It's almost as big as the His tank, and that had to be a HasLab. And well, it didn't have to be a HasLab, but it needed to be a HasLab for it to be as good as it is. And I kind of think that a water moccasin, too big, I think. They could do something else, a different water vehicle, maybe that's smaller, like make something up.
So
I don't know.
What I'm getting, like, because obviously we're kind of probably still in early classified mode, right, where it wasn't as big a team, it wasn't as big a brand, and it certainly wasn't getting the kind of, it was successful, but it wasn't getting the kind of budget that it necessarily needed. Now I'm looking at classified with slightly different, from a slightly different viewpoint. I'm looking at it from more resources are going into it. The team is growing on it and being more focused. And also the in terms of like, you know, what the HasLab has done to show what people really, really want from the classified line is making me think that possibly we could start seeing in the next few years bigger vehicles coming out in like, and not just as HasLabs. So I'm just kind of looking at it like with a more open mind, I will say. I'm not saying yes or no to a water moccasin, and I agree with you that it's probably a bit too big to do it right. But I would say that it's not beyond the realms of possibility now. And I think that it's a good point that someone brought up that maybe they're thinking about. I'm not confirming a vehicle, Bryn. I'm not. I'm just saying. I'm looking at it with a slightly different viewpoint now. But in terms of Copperhead, what do you think of the actual figure?
I like the accessories because, you know, Copperhead's kind of a blank canvas for what accessories you may want to give
Absolutely.
To him.
So yeah.
I think that they've chosen some things like that. The machete looks like something maybe if he gets out of the boat, he just kind of ends up in a swampy area and just kind of needs to cut his way through.
Yeah.
And the gun kind of looks like something that maybe if Copperhead had been released later on in the vintage line, maybe that's the style of gun that maybe he would have included. So it looks like everything fits his character. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So it says if Fortnite can get a boat, so can we. That thing's massive. Well, and it's not even the same it wouldn't even be the same scale size as the water moccasin, would it? Water moccasin is like slightly longer, I think. So, and you're going to have to fit two figures in that, like the gunner and the pilot. So yeah, it would be a big, big vehicle, wouldn't it? But again, like what Paul's saying here, I'm only putting it on there because you agree with me, Paul. The brand is strong and going, more opportunities for figures and vehicles. I think, yeah, that's what I'm getting at, basically. Anyway, Cophead.
TIE Fighter was the big sticking point, and that was Star Wars and a long time ago. I think that it'd be worth giving it another try.
In a galaxy far, far away, was it?
Well, that? Yeah. Yeah, right. I didn't even intend on saying that. But yeah, I think even if it was Star Wars, it'd be worth trying again at some point. So why let that be a reason why we wouldn't have a G.I. Joe at least have a shot at a decent-sized vehicle at retail? I agree.
77 City John has said, vehicles could be done as Hasbro and Fan Channel exclusives. Yeah. Wide availability, but no retail shelf space.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm getting at as well. Like, it opens the doors for a lot more opportunities. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. A real question, how much bigger would a water moccasin be than a Fortnite boat, which is for 6-inch figures and is $73.99? Well, it would be longer. I mean, they could just do it the same size, but you'd be kind of sacrificing a few things, wouldn't you? I'm not sure they'd want to sacrifice anything. Anyway, that's that. The Devilfish is a good shout as an initial
yeah,
boat.
Yeah, that actually really is. Yeah, I think that'd be a great choice for trying something a little bit larger.
Yeah.
For G.I. Joe.
Let's grow it into that and see where we can go with it. That's exactly. a much better idea. Basically, Slave, yes, I do think that. I think the success of the Hiss is helping with lots more things. I'm not necessarily sure vehicles at retail, but definitely, like we just discussed.
Online retail.
Yeah, and also the way that the brand is growing at the moment is just phenomenal. Like, it is, I haven't seen anything like this since. There you go. There's another Star Wars reference for you. I haven't felt a presence like that since. Anyway, and then just stop and walk away. Shipwreck is next up, and this was one that a lot of people were excited for seeing. Were you excited to see him in his sculpt, Pat?
Of course. Yeah, I'm really eager to get Shipwreck. He's such a classic character. I know my favorite shipwreck line from the cartoon. You know, you're all my prisoners.
You're all my prisoners. My favorite one is when he says, "You bollocksed up the guidance systems," which is one of the funny, because obviously, you know, that word is slightly naughtier in the United Kingdom than it is in America. And you know, it's just so funny that it comes up about three or four times in the Sunbow cartoon, and it's when Shipwreck, Lifeline, and I think Dial Tone are put up for promotion, and it's like the Televipers basically make it look like that on the computer screen, and G.I. Joe basically goes to crap. You guys probably know what I'm talking about.
Did you see that as a kid then?
No, I saw it later on, so I didn't, because again, they picked and choosed with the video VHS. In actual fact, that might have made it to a VHS in the UK, and it still got through. But I don't think, I didn't see it as a kid. I saw it much older.
I was wondering if maybe as they were picking and choosing, if they went, maybe we're not going to release that one.
Let's keep bollocks out of it. Anyway, I'm still going to say bollocks because it's light in terms of, but I'm not going to say what it means. I think people know what it means. Shipwreck. Polly, not articulated. And also, I have had confirmation that Polly has a peg leg. Did you notice that, Pat?
No, I did not notice that.
They've given Polly a little peg leg as if to insinuate that she's been through some stuff. So I think it's a cute touch, kind of adds a little bit more to the character there, and also helps her attach to the rope secondary, which goes round separately, goes round Shipwreck as well. So
no wings on Polly that are articulated, apparently.
No, that is it's a kind of like one-piece figure. I don't even think her head moves, honestly. It might, but I don't think it does. It's just one small piece. Are you a bit disappointed about that?
You know, it's one of those things where I think that it can be fine, especially if we it's Shipwreck. Shipwreck deserves to come out more than once. And if we get a second one, it would be really nice if the Flying Polly came with one and, you know, Perched Polly came with this one.
Yeah, agreed. I also like the thought of maybe doing a Tiger Force Shipwreck.
Yeah, but then Polly doesn't need to be in Tiger Force deco. She can just, you know, be flying or, you know.
Yeah, that would be great if they did a different deco on her and it had tiger stripes. That would be amazing. Or just change the color of her hair. You know, all the animal companions have to get changed. Even Max got a change, didn't he? Max. Who else got a change in terms of their animal companions? Lightfoot. Lightfoot's animal companion got a change.
all the brown goes away for Junkyard. You know, if he's going to be with the Marauders of the DEF.
Yep,
just kind of covers up all the other color on him.
Exactly. Yes, Diecast Nick, Polly has a wooden leg. And that is confirmed as well. RKW1138 says, this shipwreck is the dog's bollocks. Absolutely, it is. Right, and Jeffrey says, dang, I guess the last 40 years has been hard for parrots. Yeah, it has, hasn't it? Okay, yeah. Well, that is Shipwreck. I'm really excited for these reveals. There's one last thing I wanted to mention on the stream though, Pat, is the fact we got an interview with John Jiang, who was doing, well, we didn't, but SDC, they did an interview with John Jiang, who was signing his artwork at the Hasbro booth. And his artwork just happened to be the new look at the Barbecue Marauders artwork that he's done. And we got some nice close-ups of this. Sorry, I didn't even need to shout out. What are your thoughts on that? I know it's just effectively the same artwork, but different colors. But what are you thinking?
It looks nice. That kind of lets us know what they're planning on doing with the Marauders packaging. I would assume that that's going to be true of other characters as well.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. So if we ever get... Because this Marauder figure only came out in the main line. So I guess we're going to probably get more mainline releases, like Spirit, for example. But I'd imagine with Spirit, they would use his classified art, but then just change the color on it, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I think we can expect that going. I mean, that's what they've done with the Python Patrol figures artwork. They've done it with Officers of the Python Patrol as well. The Tiger Force, we've only had Outback so far, haven't we? But we haven't seen the other artwork, I don't think, yet for the others. So right. But I imagine that'll be the case. And in fact, Recondo's new and Bazooka's new. So we don't know yet, actually, with Tiger Force. But we will be getting other versions of those characters, regular versions. So I imagine we'll get the same artwork reversed in that sense. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of point it out there because I thought it was a really nice kind of like almost like a hidden aspect to SDCC. That no one was really talking about. And I thought, yeah, let's get that on the screen and a shout out to John Jiang as well. Okay, that is SDCC. Should we get in? We might as well get into the last part now, Pat, because this has been a long one, hasn't it? Let's get into shout outs and let's hurry up about it.
Hey there, guys. Just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago, I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner/developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections, really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear. You can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding.
Get to hoarding indeed. Pat, we'll start with you on the old shout-outs, and we'll try and rinse through these. What are your shout-outs, my good man?
Shout-out, as always, to Philip. We have articulated points that we work on together and try to post at least one video a month. And, yeah, so we've been really hard at work this month. And later today, if you're actually... Later today, as in maybe 3 minutes from now, like once we're done here, you know, a video should post for this month. If you're into finding out, like looking at maybe some Cobras that you maybe haven't seen before that are from the mid 80s, we have Cobra Convergence 6. And Philip and I kind of get into talking about what you see here on screen. So, that video should be up shortly. So that's awesome. Kind of what my shout out is. Shout out, I'm greedy. Shout out to myself for half of
it. I can't wait to see that, Pat. Again, are you touching on what looks like there, the G.I. Joe manga?
That would be correct. We've talked about it a little bit before, but we get a little bit more into it and show a character that I had actually personally not seen before. So how often do you have the chance to see a Cobra from the 80s that you've not seen before? So that's kind of what we get into.
Awesome. I can't wait for that, mate. Really excited. Before we move on to the next one, we've got a few questions coming through. Joe Self says, Chris and Pat, what is the unannounced classified figure you'd like to see the most? So something that hasn't been announced, what would you like to see the most?
For me, as soon as you mention low light, my mind goes right to sci-fi. I would really like a classified sci-fi.
Yeah, that's a good shout. For me, I would have said low light, but the wonderful Ray Murphy, I'll be shouting out a little while, made me this amazing custom of low light. Lightfoot. I would have said Lightfoot is what I should have said. Yeah, I would have said low light because that's got nothing to do with Lightfoot. But yeah, Lightfoot for me would be awesome. But then because I've got this one now, I'm just hoping for Tiger Force Hit and Run.
Yeah, and I've already changed my mind and I'm thinking about Ace and Psych Out, so...
There you go. Psych Out, please. Because then you got Night Force and Tiger Force.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, let's do that. But thanks, Joe, for the question. Appreciate it. Tunnel Rat is in the works, says Danny of our time. We know that, yeah. And hopefully we'll get Tunnel Rat at some point. I'm really excited to see Tunnel Rat's sculpt input and all that kind of jazz. Next up then, Pat, your next shout out.
Also to Operation Recall, that's currently funding on Kickstarter. I don't know what they're up to right now.
Still going. Like a billion.
Still an opportunity to jump in on that. I have not looked today to see. It has funded. So at this point, they're just hitting stretch goals.
Comfortably.
So, yes. Yes, very comfortably. And if you've not heard about it, it is essentially the opportunity for them to bring to life the dreams of other collectors, of other G.I. Joe collectors. So it's kind of fan-submitted designs that then are taken over by the people who worked on the original G.I. Joe team, on the original G.I. Joe line.
It's an amazing lineup of people involved in this. And shout out to Carson and Operation Recall.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome. 231K-ish, says Raymond Thickthighs, what they're up to. My goodness. Anyway... Is that all you got for us, Pat?
Yes, that. Just plugging myself. As soon as you're done here, our video should be online and Operation Recall.
I will rinse through mine then. Obviously, to my wonderful family in the UK and obviously in the United States. Love you guys to the moon and back. Shout out to Mommy, who was on earlier. I'm not sure if she's still on, but shout out to mom and dad in the UK. We'll be speaking to you tomorrow at this point now, but we'll get a FaceTime with you guys, and obviously Kate and my lovely little Phoebes as well, who were in the distance in the house. Right, and also to Brian Sauer, who got me these. He does all our graphics, I should say first, our amazing Chuckles graphics at the moment, which are just beautiful. But he got me these G.I. Joe socks. So thank you, Brian, for grabbing me a pair of those, and also a ton of Micro Machines. So thank you very much, dude. I'm too lucky to have you guys as friends. So thank you, Brian, for that. Very awesome. Also, shout out to Word Burglar. Now, I've done the shout out in the past, but his new album, Bergonomic, is now available on Spotify. So if that's how you listen to music, you can now listen to Word Burglar's brand new awesome album. And I have a track on it as well. I produced Ending Conclusion on track 15 on his album, and it's a banger. You can see there, produced Diagnostic 80. See that? Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you guys are interested and want to check that out, it's now on Spotify. And yeah, go nuts and check out End in Conclusion and see if you can figure out what sample I used, because it was a cool one. Also, shout out, as I said, to Ray Murphy. I took some amazing pictures of Lightfoot and his little mine detector drone. You can actually see those in Hoarder now if you want. Link in the description. Massive shout out to Ray Murphy, an amazing customizer, and thank you so much for giving me that. It is the best. I love it. Also, shout out to Dan Kay, who was on a second ago, was watching us. He might have had to leave, but shout out to Dan Kay. Volumes 9 and 10 of his Creating G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, are coming soon, and he happened to post that during the Sepenzil reveal. So good timing on that one, Dan. Amazing timing, in actual fact. Looking forward to those volumes. And to Adam Riches, of course, our very own Adam Riches, who posted that he's been busy doing the retro O-ring card back artwork for Nightforce Ripcord. So as you can see there, it's completely painted. He flipped the position that Ripcord was in, as some of the Nightforce figures did on the card, the two-pack carded versions, where they wanted to maybe have them facing each other. So that's what they did in those. So that's what he did. He employed that technique on this particular card art, and it looks great. Painted it completely from scratch as well. So absolutely beautiful piece of work from Adam there. And you can see the original there, and you can see it on the card as well. There, brilliant stuff. And big shout out to Adam Riches, who we talked about on the last monthly episode. Pat and I had a good chin wag about Adam's wonderful Sergeant Slaughter artwork that you can go and check out now as well. So yeah, just wanted to big up Adam again. We may even have to get him on and talk about that one, Pat.
Yeah, he did a really wonderful job on that. It looks amazing. It's not just the original Garrido art put on there. He really homaged that and makes that looks like it fits so perfectly with the rest of the G.I. Joe collection. I really like this one. And his digital camo, and the fact that the digital camo is customized specific for this art, really sells it as a vintage piece to me.
Absolutely. I think you're right. He's nailed the Garrido look, hasn't he, in that sense?
Yeah.
The Garrido, the Norum, the heart. They all managed to have that like amazing way of just like grasping the soul of that artwork, you know, like, and Adam's done exactly the same here. It's just brilliant. So well done, Adam. Big shout out to you, my good man. And that's it. To all our listeners, viewers, and everyone, all of you guys and commenters and patrons, everyone that's been like, you know, commenting and everything, we really appreciate it. Sorry we can't get to every single one. I would if I could. I just can't. Pat, mate, thank you so much for jumping on another cracking episode. And I totally understand if you have to leave immediately after this one, so don't worry about hanging on. So everyone, thanks very much in the comments. You know what to do now at the end of all these episodes. After three, you ready, Pat? Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'm one, always ready.
Two, three,
four.
See you on the next one, guys.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/The Full Force. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/The Full Force Podcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.